Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. I just want to encourage you this morning to continue your search for your Creator that has created you in His image. And that is something that says a lot. And sometimes it's helpful for us to look at the simple things, or the, you might say, the big picture of things. In this case, what I'm talking about is the big picture of why we're created and what we were created for. Then also the big picture of who our enemy is. And sometimes it's helpful to just stand back and take a good look at the overall picture from time to time. I know that has been helpful for me, and I would just want to encourage you this morning that he that comes will come and will not tarry. A lot of the things in Scripture many of us have heard for so many years that they can't become almost like almost like a broken record player, to where we hear them so often that they lose their meaning to us, and it almost becomes like this song that just goes around and around in our minds. But then one day we will discover that all these things had much greater meaning and significance than what we even had imagined, because that day will come. It surely will come. And until then, let us continue to seek him. I do often wonder, what I see many a times in the lives of people is if they are overtaught and under-experienced, it can cause a major problem. And what I mean by that is if they have a lot of Bible knowledge, and yet very few experience as far as the knowledge is concerned. In other words, if they have a lot of teachings about the Bible, about Jesus, about God, and why Jesus came, about the Holy Spirit, but very little of it is an experience. Very little of it means a whole lot, because it's distant from their own experience, especially in the area of maybe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know we had I had talked about that some yesterday, and that is one of the dangers that I think that we can face in our day. If we have a lot of knowledge about God, and yet have very little of it relevant. In other words, if the stories in the Bible from the from the heroes of faith, so to speak, if we can't identify with their lives, I think it's time that we have a good talk with God about that. And it's usually, if that's the case, it's usually a sign of a lack of faith, meaning that our knowledge of God is not working itself out in our own personal life. And this morning I would like to talk some about sometimes the things that are our enemies right in our own home, so to speak. It says in Habakkuk, I will stand upon my watch, that's chapter 2, and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Has a picture here of Habakkuk standing somewhere and just waiting. Apparently he was watching up on a tower, And he just sat there and waited to see what God would say to him. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may read that, run that readeth it. So what he was saying, what the Lord was saying is I'm going to tell you some things here and you make it plain. Write it upon tables, meaning stone. And the reason for that is because it needs to last a long time. The reason that people make gravestones out of stone and write and grave the names of the people that were buried there on stone is because they want it to last for a long time. And so this, what the Lord was writing to Habakkuk, was supposed to last for a long time. And it was also supposed to be written very big, like a billboard, so he that's running past it can read it without slowing down, like a billboard along a road. And then verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it will tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. And behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And I believe that what God is saying is that there's some more things that are written there, but he's simply saying that the things of old will surely come. And it's interesting that he's starts out with it, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So it has the picture there of a person who is confident in his own ways. In other words, if his soul is lifted up within himself, that soul is not upright. And I was just thinking, the general theme that the Bible speaks about, if we stand back and get a overall big picture of things, it's basically saying that for those that are confident in themselves, that seems to be the almost like the mother of all sin. And I was just thinking here, how that sometimes the things that we read about in Scripture, and Jesus, of course, knows the hearts of men, and sometimes I have marveled already at some of the simplicity of how Jesus worded things. For instance, some of man's basic temptations are right in his own home. Man's basic needs are food, clothing, and shelter. And also, some of man's number one priorities in order to serve God is having a prayer life. And I found it amazing, like there in Matthew 6, where it has three things that man often is tempted with is, Jesus has a teaching on prayer and on fasting and on almsgiving. And I had to think how ironic, because those are three things that no person that I know of has ever avoided. No person on the face of the earth from the beginning of time until now that I know of has that is in heaven today, so to speak, was not faced in a very real way with those three things. In other words, the simple thing of food and money and prayer. So I believe what Jesus is saying here, that he knows that the minute Okay. Number one temptation is to just indulge and do none of it. In other words, what I mean by none of it is no fasting and no praying and no almsgiving. That would be the number one sin. Number two sin that Satan wants to convince us of is if we do fast, if we do give alms, if we do pray a lot, we want to be seen of men. And so it's almost like a double test that we have to pass there. Number one, we have to pass the test of actually doing those things. And then number two, we have to pass the test of pride, so to speak, the mother of all sin, and actually do it for the right reasons. And I think that one of the ways here in 1 Peter 4 for that to even be possible to happen, that we can actually do those things without that desire to be seen of men. It says, 1 Peter 4, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And I was amazed, you know, how much of the Christian life is conquered simply by these three simple categories. How much of the battle, I don't know that I want to put a number on it, but I would say it would be way over 50%. If we get those three areas of our lives right and pass the second step in them, so to speak. In other words, the first step is what I had explained, actually being able to do them. And then the second step to be able to do them for the right reasons. And when we practice those things, in other words, when we have victory in that way in our lives, we have much of the gospel, much of the way of Jesus already conquered in our lives. And that is, if we are able to control our appetite, if we are able to self-discipline ourselves in the area of eating, and if we are able to be free of covetousness, to where our money that we have earned, or we say we have earned, if we are able to use that for God's kingdom without anyone knowing it, and without, you know, without any boasting and that desire for people to know about that, and if we have a prayer life that so that we are connected to the Father at all times, and that we are aware of His will, like it says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And if we can do that without that temptation to boast about our prayer life and to make it known to people how much time we spent with God and how well our prayer life is, we have come a long way. And I personally do not think that it's possible to do those things in the flesh. I just don't think it is. And that's just another reason why it is necessary for us to have a spirit-filled life. And I do believe that pride is actually at the root of, in other words, I would say the first step there would be the lust of the flesh, just the desiring to, that would be more like your Gentile sin, is just the desire not to suffer, so to speak. But the second phase of that has everything to do with pride. And it seems like every person has to get started somewhere, and it seems like every person starts out in the Christian life and discovers that it's actually possible to have victory over the flesh when we're born again. In other words, when we leave Egypt and are baptized, we discover that it's actually possible to live over, you know, to have power over the flesh, the lust of the flesh. But the biggest test seems to be coming after that, and that's the test of overcoming pride and the desire that we are noticed and seen, and that people notice us for our sacrifices that we're making. And so I think that that suffering is really God's way of rooting that out of us. Like it says here, that we should arm ourselves with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And I believe that that is what that's talking about. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I do believe that the only way to root out that pride that wants to, in a sense, so naturally come out through us after we have accomplished great things for God is that suffering. And I think that this is not only the scripture that is written, but I think it's actually God wanting that to be fulfilled, because God can take a person amazing places, a person who has overcome that natural temptation to want to be noticed, which is pride. And God can take a person to amazing places. And so that was something that I feel I am currently in God's school, is to take a very deep look at the motives of our heart, why we do things the way we do, and why we do them. And it is sometimes amazing when we just stop and look at our life, how many things that we find that we're doing because of pride, you know, some of the sacrifices that we make, that there's actually a lingering root of pride that we want to be noticed in a spiritual way. So may the Lord have his way, and may he continue to build his church. And I believe that God wants to set, to raise up a strong church to walk through these last days. And I would just like to encourage us all to continue in the faith and to not be weary of his rewards. In other words, he that cometh will come and will not tarry. May God bless you.